Will Sled is back with us. He's running the Periscope. Justin Scarlett's pressing the buttons. And I, of course, am orating into a mic about lists and ranking things, because that is what the people like, and that is an easy way to communicate. So we're going to start with the power rankings. That is available to you if you'd like the prerequisite reading material on the Run It Up WKGN Twitter. Nice little graphic there done by our social media manager, Daniel Almeida. That will be discussed. A ranking of the trades we would like to see the most in the NFL, because the trade deadline is rapidly approaching. We are hurtling towards the trade deadline. That is 4 p.m. on Election Day next Tuesday. Great timing there by the NFL. Hour number two, Logan Cannon will join us, and we will have a full hour devoted to the storylines that we are tracking throughout the back half of the schedule, because don't look now, but we're in week 8 now, just about the halfway mark in the National Football League. It is flying by. All that on tap. We're going to step aside for a moment here, come right back. We'll poke some holes in a power ranking. This is Run It Up, WKGN Fox Sports Knoxville Fan Run Radio. Run It Up, transmitting live and in high power from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios here at Fox Sports Knoxville. We put a list up today. My name is attached to it. It is what I think. The Miami Dolphins may be a part of that list. They may not be. Justin Scarlett, the power rankings are out. They're available on the WKGN Run It Up Twitter account. That's at Run It Up WKGN. What do you think? Where do you see the holes?
I got to
turn on your mic there.
I got a couple here.
Okay. You were so ready to give them to me, you forgot to turn on your mic.
Yeah. There's a lot going on up here today.
Yes.
At number 10, you got the Dolphins. Explain that one to me off the rip. I think that's the biggest controversy here.
So, yeah, this one's shocking to say the least. And apparently I'm a Dolphins fan. I didn't know that. But this year is kind of revealing that to me. I just have a very deep-seated belief in Brian Flores. And you can say all the things you want about, man, the Rams are off this list. Man, the Browns are off this list. And to me, you continue to watch the Rams and they're winning games, yeah. I'm not sure who necessarily of stature they are beating. So that's part of it. Whenever I'm looking at them with two losses and having them not on this list over a team that's got three. But additionally with the Rams, I don't see, and maybe this is just a thing of all Sean McVay teams in the past, but those offenses had Todd Gurley. That was the special player. Show me, other than Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey, the special guy. Even the serviceable guy is really around him. This offensive line has played well for the Rams, and I know I'm talking about the Rams on a question you asked about the Dolphins, but I feel like they're the natural choice to slot in here ahead of them.
Yeah.
The Rams are a team that's offensive line's been good. The receivers are performing above what they should be able to. Robert Woods has been fantastic for years now. Cooper Kupp's kind of taken a step back a little bit, but Tyler Higbee and Everett have stepped up for him. Jared Goff has been really up and down this year. But then you look at the defense, and I don't understand how they keep holding people down whenever you've got Brockers, Aaron Donald, and a corner in Jalen Ramsey who's all-world, but not a lot of other special guys. Decent NFL guys, but not special guys around them. I don't know when they're going to come back down to earth, but I reckon it will be sooner than later. That said, I still think they can make the playoffs. That doesn't necessarily mean they're a top 10 team. The reason I have the Dolphins as high is because I think Tua unlocks some things that have been missing. The Dolphins are a team that have pretty much either played their opponent to a one-score game or been not in a game because Ryan Fitzpatrick played them out of it so far this year. I'm betting on Tua. I think he is going to be that special for them. But aside from all that, it's Flores, it's the defense, it's the secondary, it's all the playmakers around Tua on offense. I really believe in. They're 3-3 right now. You can make an easy argument they should be 5-1 or 6-0. And nobody's really paying attention to them. So when you see them at 20th in the power rankings and are asking, oh, where's Matt Breida? Jordan Howard's not doing anything. This kid Miles Gaskin, been terrific. And the people who are doubting them are not watching them, I don't think. At least personally. I've got them higher. I'm going out on a limb. Get back to me in a couple weeks when I'm right.
Okay. You seem pretty certain. All right, Seahawks still being ranked at 7 over the Cardinals at 9, even though they lost to the Cardinals on Sunday night.
This is more so about the fact that the Seahawks shouldn't have lost to the Cardinals on Sunday night. They had the lead the entire game, literally lost it with the game-winning kick. That was the only time they trailed in the entire game. And they throw a stupid interception in overtime that should have never happened on a 3rd and long from Russell Wilson, who's just trying to make something happen. Just a bad pick. Wilson had an uncharacteristically bad night, and it's not just the 3 interceptions. It was the nature of those interceptions because he got fooled flat out on 2 of them. All credit to the Cardinals. It's a team that I've been high on. I said preseason, you can go and pull the tape, that I thought the Arizona Cardinals were playoff caliber. And they look the part so far this year. Another team that should be 6-0 based on the teams they've lost to.
I mean, the whole division looks playoff caliber.
Correct. 7-0 for the Cardinals. My bad. But I just can't. The intrinsic willpower and force of Russell Wilson, he is holding them up here because this team is deeply flawed. Aside from their receivers, aside from their quarterback, it's hard to find the place that you feel really good about this Seattle Seahawks team right now. So having them at 7 is just a testament to how good Russell Wilson has been this year and the fact that they are ahead of the Cardinals is, even though they're not a great football team, I thought that on Sunday night, for the majority of the contest, they were the better football team between them and the Arizona Cardinals. Although, that logic is starting to fray a little bit. The Cardinals are coming. They've got some holes, but I don't think they're as glaring as the Seahawks. I just think Seattle's ceiling might be a little bit higher because of where Russ can take them.
Okay.
Okay.
So you think the Dolphins are the best team in the AFC East, kind of circling back around?
Yes.
Here? Without a doubt. You don't think the Bills can touch them?
The Bills barely beat the Jets this week. Had to kick, I think, 8 field goals.
Okay.
Josh Allen has gotten really bad really fast, and that's alarming for Bills fans. You know, the division is not hard. New England is not that good. You've obviously got 2 free wins pretty much with the Jets, but the Bills already played the Jets twice. So when you're looking at the house that that record is kind of built on, the foundation it's built on, that house, it's kind of faulty. You got 2 free wins, pretty much, by a team that might go 0-16. If I had to bet, I would say would go 0-16. So with the Bills, I'm not sure. And the Dolphins, by the way, are only a game behind them and played them very tight with Fitzpatrick at quarterback, who, mind you, is a guy that I feel like is holding this team back. So that's why I have the Dolphins there. I think the Dolphins are going to win the division.
All right. Titans only sliding down 1 spot, even though they took a loss on Sunday.
Yeah, and it came down to them missing a kick. And they were just as good as the Steelers. They proved it. You know, they're not fully healthy. We're going to talk about it later when we talk about teams that need to make certain trades. But they will get Adoree Jackson back, which will help the secondary that was brutalized against the Steelers. And I just don't necessarily see who's going to be able to consistently stop this offense because the Steelers are one of the best early down run defenses in the NFL. The Titans banged their head up against the wall with that early in that game, and then they were able to adjust, and Tannehill was just able to make throws against the Steelers without support from the run game. That's all I needed to see. Yeah, they are that good. They are a top 5 team. I think the top 6 teams in the NFL have pretty clearly distinguished themselves so far.
You don't think the Seahawks belong in that conversation?
No, they're too flawed.
Okay.
They're too flawed. I think they have a Super Bowl ceiling, but it would take a Herculean effort by Russell Wilson.
Okay. So you think the Buccaneers and the Packers are the 2 teams on the other side of the league that can challenge the Chiefs out of the AFC?
Yeah, and I don't even think the Packers really could unless Aaron Rodgers just goes nuclear. Because Aaron Rodgers is as close to a reflection of Patrick Mahomes as you can find. The Packers are a more complete team, I think, than the Chiefs. You can't really just exploit things in their defense, although their secondary has been very erratic. They've gotten good performances from Darnell Savage at times. You know, Adrian Amos is back there. You've got your corners with Jaire Alexander, who's genuinely very good, but is inconsistent and sometimes about every 4 or 5 weeks gets cooked for 120 yards. And then you've got Kevin King, who is as physically gifted a corner as you can find in the NFL. So the defense, in short, is much more complete. But the Packers, I just don't think, have the firepower offensively to compete with Kansas City when they're fully engaged. I really only think there are two teams, and that's the Buccaneers and the Steelers.
Okay. So what puts the Buccaneers in that conversation?
They just keep throttling people. I mean, Tom looks good. I'm not. Listen, man, all the people who are like, oh, Tom never went anywhere. Hey, he's the same quarterback he always was. That's not true. This is a completely different Tom Brady than we've ever seen. He's pushing the ball down the field more than he ever has. He has the third highest amount of completions of 20-plus yards in the NFL. That was never Tom Brady's bag. This is a new football player. And what we're looking at right now is a guy who's in an offense that's shot play, shot play, shot play, shot play. I'm interested to see what can happen when a team can take away their run game with their front and then find the ability to drop guys into coverage in mass numbers and see what Tom can do underneath against zone coverage. Because he's thrown multiple pick sixes against that look this year. He has not been very good underneath, which is a complete role reversal on Tom Brady. But the defense is legit. The weapons are legit. If Antonio Brown can be a part of this team for more than 3 weeks, that's a scary thought. Now, Chris Godwin's hurt. That sucks. Great player. But they've just gotten really big contributions from places you didn't anticipate them to, and they're a complete football team. They are a lot better than I anticipated, and I was wrong about them. They're the best team in the NFC right now.
Okay. So if you had to tier these, are you tiering the top three teams together, or are the Chiefs still in a league of their own?
I think it's a lot closer. It's hard to tell. The Chiefs have only, I genuinely believe this, have only really come out and showed out in force for the Ravens game and somewhat for the Houston game, and they look totally dominant in those contests. But Pat's just kind of out there chilling, and he's still thrown 15 touchdowns and one interception and has been virtually immaculate. And you don't really hear anything about it because the Chiefs just kind of been going about their business the last couple weeks. Do I think they have flaws? Yes. Do I think Patrick Mahomes is completely impervious and having him on your team makes you just that much better than everybody else? Not exactly. It does give you a leg up on anybody you play because he can just simply do things at the position that other guys can't. There are some legitimate concerns, though, now with the Chiefs with injuries piling up on the offensive line. And we don't know when those guys are going to get back. They need Mitchell Schwartz, their all-pro right tackle, back as soon as possible. And if that's the case, I feel like teams like the Buccaneers and the Steelers, although I definitely think the Chiefs can just absolutely tear the Steelers' secondary to shreds because you can't blitz them and their secondary is vulnerable. The Buccaneers present a unique challenge, and I think the Steelers can score with the Chiefs with the way they play offense. So I do think it's those three teams. It's kind of like a 1A, 1B category where the Steelers and Bucks are in 1B, and I think the Chiefs are ahead of them, but it's by a nose. It's not by a lot.
Okay. I think that might be all I have.
All right. Good to know.
Anything else? Anything else you want to explain for yourself, want to put out there?
I have an asterisk next to the Ravens. I'm waiting.
Okay.
They play the Steelers this week. That's going to be a very good barometer of where this team sits right now. Another team that I think may need to make a trade here in the week. Already got Yannick Ngakoue. That was big. Maybe let's give Lamar Jackson an extra set of hands. We'll talk about that with Ryan Blank. He's on the phone line.
Nice tease.
Yeah. We'll get back to that here in a moment. This is Run It Up, WKGM, Fox Sports Knoxville, Fan Run Radio. Said he likes... I'm going to give you five trades that I like here in the last week before the NFL trade deadline. But before we get into all of that, Ryan, you doing well, my friend?
Doing great. Thank you for having me on again.
As always. So let's get into this. I think there are a lot of teams that are not as good as we thought they might be, but have potential if they make a couple moves here before the deadline on Tuesday. That's sneaking up. We've only seen one really big trade so far. That was Yannick Ngakoue to Minnesota, by way of Minnesota, rather, to Baltimore for that third-round pick and that fifth-round pick. I don't imagine that will be the last trade we see. So which one do you have circled as your first one here that you want to get off your chest as one of these trades that you'd like to see happen?
First one is Will Fuller to the Patriots.
Will Fuller, interesting. Okay, elaborate. I like the Patriots side of it.
I am hearing a lot of rumors about it. And the Texans, I think, would really give up two picks. I think it would be more like a 2022 second or third round pick and maybe a conditional pick in this upcoming draft. The Patriots need wide receiver help. There's no doubt about that. Damir Bird is acting like the number one option, and he's solid, but he's not a number one option, and I think everyone knows that. Edelman is not the same as he used to be. He's still dropping the ball a lot, and N'Keal Harry's production has tapered down a lot. Will Fuller, on the other hand, has had a terrific season. He is quickly approaching a career high in touchdowns. His career high is 7. He's at 5 right now. And in receiving yards, he's at 490 receiving yards, and his career high is 670. And the biggest worry about Will Fuller has been, can he stay healthy? He has not played a full season yet.
Right.
He's healthy right now. And I think the Texans can use that as leverage to get on to that Will Fuller bandwagon. I think it'd be a great trade for the Patriots.
So
to get him.
Not to cut you off here, but price tag wise, you feel like Houston would charge quite a bit there because he has been the guy who's kind of stepped up as the favorite target for Deshaun Watson, who we'll discuss later in the show. I've got thoughts on Deshaun Watson and whether or not he might or might not be part of the Houston Texans in the future. That'll be in hour number two. But if you are in the Texans situation, I don't feel like trading Deshaun's favorite guy is going to be something you're going to take lightly.
Well, here's the thing. I thought about the potential value of Will Fuller, but Brandon Cooks has been turning it on a lot.
True.
As of recently. He has looked very good over the past few weeks, which could show, because what you've seen from Will Fuller the past couple weeks, he's had, well, first week you saw against the Chiefs, he had 8 receptions, 112 yards, and 10 targets. Since then, he's really between that 5 to 7 target range. And, yeah, against Tennessee, he had 11 targets. But I think the emergence of Brandon Cooks is really going to be what fuels a potential trade there.
Interesting. Interesting. Okay, I don't hate it. I don't think it's going to happen. But I don't hate it. Do you think they would have to give up what? The third-round compensational pick that they got for Brady and just some other stuff like that? Or are we talking like potentially their even second-round pick, which would equate to a top 40 pick most likely?
I actually have them. They would give up their conditional third-round pick that they got for Brady this year and then a second-rounder in 2022. It's not going to come cheap to get him. He's having a great year. He's proving to be healthy. So it's not going to come at a cheap price, but nothing too insane, I would say.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, do you want to hear my first one?
Yes, of course.
All right, so I think the Titans need to make a move for a corner. They need to do it now. I do understand Adoree Jackson has been activated back off that IR. He may even play as soon as this week, but he's now in week 2 of practice eligibility off that knee injury, and if he doesn't play after this week, he starts to fill a roster spot while hurt and could go back onto the IR for the rest of the season. And if he's not going to play, and I'm not sure if he will, he may play again as soon as this week, but if he's not going to, we've seen this Titans secondary get brutalized week after week after week, and it's a team that could make a Super Bowl run as soon as right now. They're that good. They have been really bad on third down. They've allowed 50 of 82 opposition conversions on third down, which is the worst total in the league. I think if they could go get a guy like a Logan Ryan even, who they had last year, who's on a one-year deal with the Giants that's very affordable, that's going to be expiring at season's end anyway if the relationship isn't too far gone. That's something that they should think about doing and doing right now.
There's one reason why I don't think that'll happen.
Okay.
I think it's that Logan Ryan did not re-sign with the Titans because they would not use him in more of a safety outlook. That's what he wants to play. But I do have the Titans for a trade with a corner. I have a trade too, but I don't have Logan Ryan. I don't think he'd want to go back there if he's not going to get more of that safety play.
That was just the easiest guy I could think of because a lot of the tanking teams, the teams that are bad that would have a reason to move off a corner, don't really have one.
Yeah, you have a point there. You do.
I may have missed somebody. It sounds like you've got somebody on your list, so let's hear it.
Yeah, I have Ronald Darby from Washington.
Okay, that's fascinating. That's an interesting one. Okay, explain yourself.
I think that Ronald Darby, I think Ronald Darby's a good corner. Yeah, he's had some health issues in the past. That's been a huge worry. But you see Washington. They are just not clicking whatsoever. They aren't playing very well. Yeah, they beat the Cowboys, but the Cowboys are not very good. So
right.
I like Ronald Darby going to the Titans because, one, he's very physical. He's a physical back, and I think that's huge for them. Last year in Philadelphia, he had 11 pass deflections and 2 interceptions. This year, he is on pace to record near his third highest tackle total, which is 43. He's on pace. He is also on pace to reach 10 pass deflections. I think that what the Titans need is a very physical corner who won't be afraid to get down and dirty in the trenches, and I think that's what Ronald Darby brings.
Well, you can't not be physical with the Titans. Mike Vrabel will not allow it. This defense needs some kind of injection, and I think that could be it. He's a good number two guy, and I just don't know if that's necessarily the guy the Titans need. I feel like it needs to be a slot dude, which if Adoree Jackson comes back, that kind of solves a lot of their problems. But I feel like this defense is on the precipice of being good if they can just get off the field on third down and they're getting killed in the slot. So I don't know if Darby fits that bill as much. Yes,
yeah,
no?
And I looked at that, but I think I anticipate Adoree Jackson coming back soon. If it's not this week, I think it'd be the week after. Because he's been missed. They need him. They need help at corner. And I think they could try to move Adoree Jackson to slot because they thought about that last year.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Ronald Darby would also bring more depth to that position, which is something they lack as well.
Fair enough. Okay. On to the next. So, I think the Ravens need to find some other target for Lamar Jackson, and they may have already done it by signing Dez Bryant. It's been a long time since we saw Dez Bryant on a football field, so I really have no clue what they're going to get there. But the top receiver on this team, in average separation per route, is 48th in the league. That is one of the worst in the entire NFL in terms of number one guys. And after that, it gets even worse. You're not finding guys in separation totals until you find the bottom of the list with guys like Miles Boykin and their tight end Mark Andrews. They're just not really getting open for Lamar Jackson. Then you look at their just total yardage, and this is a little skewed because they've already had the bye week, but Lamar Jackson's top receiver right now is Hollywood Brown. And he's 29th in the league in receiving yards. You want to talk about how Lamar Jackson's a dynamic thrower of the football and you've got this offense that can play with anybody? Don't talk about it. Be about it. I think they need more weapons. I think they really miss Hayden Hurst right now, that second tight end, when they go into those 12 and 13 personnel packages. Andrews looks like he's taken a little bit of a step back, dropped a lot of balls this year. I don't know. I feel like they need something else. They already went out and got Ngakoue, which was not necessarily a need, but just them seizing an opportunity to get a guy that they've wanted for a long time and coveted. Now I think they could benefit from maybe throwing a second or first-round pick even at trying to go get a receiver, because it's something I think they need. They're not going to be able to chase down the Chiefs with the guys that they have on roster right now.
Yeah, I agree. I actually do have the Ravens as well going after a wide receiver. And it's a wide receiver that a lot of people would not think about, but it's not very like high profile because hasn't done much. I think they could make a play at A.J. Green.
A.J. Green is later on my list.
Yes, I think that would be a play. I think it would be harder because it's same division, of course. But if they were to throw around a second-round pick, I think the Bengals would take it. Because T. Higgins has emerged as one of Burrow's top targets. They still got Tyler Boyd. They've got their guys for Burrow. And A.J. Green wants out. It's obvious. You saw the lip read on the sidelines of him saying, just trade me. So I think that A.J. Green could be a great addition for Lamar Jackson, a veteran guy who proved to be an all-pro when he was healthy. So
right, it's just been a while.
I think A.J. Green could be a very good play for the Ravens to boost their wide receiver core.
I do not hate it. I will say I don't necessarily love it, but I don't hate it. The reason I don't love it is because I don't think the Bengals would do that in division. And you said a second-round pick for them. And I just think to myself, well, that would probably get the deal done because it's a massive overpay for what A.J. Green has been. But I just don't see the Ravens doing that. I don't think that they would be willing to pay that much over what I perceive A.J. Green to be worth at this point to do that. So I'd be interested. I think it's a good football fit for the Ravens if they can get it done. I just don't know if they would be able to get it done. All right, I'm going to give you one more here. It's one I'm pretty excited about, and it does involve A.J. Green not going to the Ravens but going to the Philadelphia Eagles, a team that is starting Greg Ward Jr., who was a quarterback and then played in the AAF, quarterback in college. He's a prominent part of the receiving game. Alshon Jeffrey is apparently just never going to be healthy again. Now you've got Ertz a little bit banged up. Goddard's been in and out of the lineup. Travis Fulgham's nice, and his story's awesome, but they need a number two. And somehow they still could make the playoffs. Honestly, should make the playoffs based on what's going on in their division. I think A.J. Green on a low-risk maneuver where they're acquiring a guy who is going to be off the books next year no matter what. They probably wouldn't have to pay too much for him. A guy who's shown that he can be a top 10 receiver in the league, even though we are far removed from that. Maybe he just needs a change of scenery. What do you think of that?
I actually really like that. I think getting A.J. Green to a team like Philadelphia who needs a top wide receiver or a second wide receiver, I think that that's a very good trade. But I just don't think that the Eagles are willing to give up much. I think they're very going to be pretty stingy about everything because they could end up missing the playoffs and want to keep a pick. So
that
they're
may
in
be
a
fair.
Tough spot.
So for like a fifth, do you think that gets it done, or are you saying A.J. Green's still worth more than that?
A fourth or a fifth, I think, would get the deal done.
Yeah, that's where I'm at too. And I'm interested to see, because it feels like the Eagles need to do something.
Yeah, they do. And that tight end position's hurting right now, because you got both of their top guys in Goddard and Ertz on IR.
Yeah.
When playing, Ertz hasn't done much this year. So they need help at the receiver position. So I think that A.J. Green could be a play for them as well. I think another guy like Rashad Perriman would also be on their list.
Yeah,
but I don't have that as one of my five. But I think that would be another move.
Yeah. Do you see Jamison Crowder as a guy who could potentially get moved?
That's a good question, and I don't think so.
I don't either. It just crossed my mind for the Jets, who are horrible, with this good player who's not really going to get to do what he wants to do, which is compete.
Yeah.
It popped up on my radar. So we're going to take a quick break here and break down the rest of these potential trades when we come back. Run it up, WKGM Fox Sports Knoxville, Fan Run Radio. Run it up. We've got Ryan Blank of Arrowhead Live. He covers the Chiefs, but he knows a lot about the NFL. Talking to us right now about potential trades. It's Top 10 Tuesday. We're ranking our top 10 favorite potential trades ahead of the NFL trade deadline. This week, we've run through a few. I just gave out AJ Green to the Eagles. We got to move quickly here. About 8 minutes left before we've got to go to the hour break. Hour number two, we've got Logan Camden, a close friend of both me and Ryan's, from the NerdSesh podcast to talk about the top 10 storylines in the league going forward. Ryan, so with that said, who is the next guy on your list for potential trade?
Yeah, my next guy is David Njoku. He wants out fast.
Oh, yeah, okay. I hadn't even thought about Njoku. That's a really good one. Where?
Kansas City.
Okay, come on, guy.
Here's my reason. Chiefs need a tight end, too. Nick Kizer is currently acting as the tight end, too. That's not good. You saw him fumble a pass and has had multiple drops.
But
not the tight end, too. Ricky Seals-Jones has not been healthy.
Ryan, realistically, though, are they going to pay the price that it would take to get former, I think, first-round pick David Njoku from Cleveland? I know he's number three on the depth chart, but he's still super capable, and I still feel like worth a lot.
There's the thing. They don't have leverage. The Browns don't have leverage because he's number three.
Well, they don't have to trade him, though. That's their leverage.
Well, here's the thing. Are they really going to waste his talent like that when they know they could get rid of him? I think the Chiefs could go in and give a third rounder and maybe a comp pick in a later year, and they could get him. Because he's doing nothing on that bench. He's doing nothing. He has nothing to back it up. The Browns have just proved they have no intentions of using him because they're going to Hunter Bryant now.
Who's good? Who's really good?
Yeah, and I think that's a good place for them. I think that Njoku could be on the move, and that could be to Kansas City. But if the Chiefs want to go a cheaper route at tight end, Chris Herndon.
He's been awful this year.
That's why.
You just think Andy Reid's going to save him?
Super low.
Yeah, you might be right about that.
The Chiefs need to get a second tight end.
Okay,
Deion Yelder, Nick Kizer are not going to do the job. They're not, and it's hurtful to watch him play when he's fumbling, giving the opposition 6 free points. So
yeah.
I think that the Chiefs need Ricky Seals-Jones to get on the field and stay healthy, or they got to get someone, and I think that one of those two could be in play for them.
I just don't know if the Chiefs are the team that need to make a trade right now amongst the teams in the NFL. I feel like they're doing okay.
They don't need to, but it's the philosophy of the rich keep getting richer.
Maybe so. We're going to move on now. We're a little bit pressed for time. I've got one that I'm very excited about. Golden Tate on a really bad New York Giants team to the Green Bay Packers. Here's the rationale. The Packers are a really strong team pretty much everywhere aside from receiver, where they've got Davante Adams and Lazard looked nice, but it's really a lot of the same guys that do the same kind of things at different levels of production. They don't really have that slot guy. They really haven't had that slot guy since they had Randall Cobb. That's what Golden Tate gives you in that long crossing play action game. Just adds another element to their offense. He's on an expiring deal, so they're absolved from anything if it doesn't really work out. And every time Golden Tate has been put with a quarterback who's actually decent, a Pro Bowl quarterback, he's gone for 700 yards plus in his career. What do you think about that one?
Golden Tate was another guy on my list who I thought of because he's kind of being wasted in New York.
And yeah, absolutely.
I would like to see him go to a team like Green Bay where he can compete and be a very valuable role because Davante Adams, he's the number one. He's had injury issues. He's healthy now. But Alan Lazard, who was a breakout candidate this year, is still on the IR. Marquez Valdez-Scantling is still not a viable number two.
They've got Tonyan, who's been solid from out of the tight end position, but I think they need a wide receiver too. And after Devin Funchess opted out of this season, I've thought that very heavily.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Golden Tate could be that guy for them.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think to make a Super Bowl run, they could really help their offense by adding just one more piece. Okay, go quickly here. Which one's your next one?
Ryan Kerrigan to the Seahawks.
That just makes too much sense. I mean, if they're going to move their all-time sack leader, the Washington football team, because they don't really need him, the team that does need him is the team that got one pressure on 48 dropbacks for Kyler Murray. I don't know how much explaining you have to do. Is there anything else you have to add there?
The Seahawks defense is bad.
Oh,
it's awful. Without Jamal Adams, guaranteed that has an effect, but that pass rush is arguably the weakest in the league, and Ryan Kerrigan doesn't really have a role in Washington anymore. That trade just makes too much sense in my mind.
Yeah. No, that'd be a smart move for Seattle. It doesn't fix everything for them, but it would help a little bit in their pass rush department.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, last one here. This one's going to be tough. There would have to be quite a bit of cap gymnastics going on in order to make it happen. But David Johnson to the Bills from a football fit standpoint, I think could be really smart for them. Devin Singletary has not thrived in the bell cow role. Zach Moss has been fine, but not great. I feel like adding a receiving running back that can also get north and south between the tackles and just give this offense a little bit more name and firepower would be beneficial to them, especially because it seems like they need a spark right now. They stalled out the last 3 weeks.
I don't like that for one reason. I think it's because I don't think the Bills will take on that contract. I don't think they will.
Probably not.
That's my reason. I agree. They need help at running back, mainly in the receiving game.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know who to go with besides one guy. He's the backup, Duke Johnson.
Yeah. That could be
Duke
interesting.
Johnson come at a cheaper price and not the cap hit. So I think that could be a fit. But I agree with your premise for it. I just don't think the Bills will take on that type of contract.
Fair enough. I'm just trying to picture the Bills and what they could look like with an actual type A running back like a Kareem Hunt and how much better that football team would be. It's just something they haven't had really since LeSean McCoy left. So I think there is a move in store for the Bills. It's hard, though. They're up against the cap. They've only got about $3 million in space, so we'll see. That's Ryan Blank. You can find him at RMBlank4 on Twitter. Also find his work at Arrowhead Live. Ryan, thank you for joining the program.
Thank you for having me on again.
All right. That's Ryan Blank. That's our number one. Top 10 Tuesday continues a very interesting and exciting conversation I'm ready for with Logan Camden. That's up next about the biggest things going on in the NFL throughout the back half of the season. This is Run It Up, WKGN Fox Sports Knoxville Fan Run Radio.